Okay, so let's take our Bibles and go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. In our last session, we looked at the influence of the church now as we await the gathering together of the church. The next great spiritual event in human history will be Jesus Christ descending upon a cloud with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's our gathering together unto Him. It hasn't happened yet. It could happen today. I pray it does. Now, the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 had reached the end of his life. And at this point in time, he knows by revelation that he's going to fall asleep. And he writes these words right at the end of 2 Timothy, verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered." In other words, he knows he's going to die. He knows he's going to fall asleep. "And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the what?
Faith.
Wouldn't those be wonderful things to be able to say at the end of your life? The Apostle Paul could say it in truth. In fact, this is not just him commending himself. This is God giving him revelation to write down. And then in verse 8, it says, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." The word crown here is figurative, but it connotes the believer's rewards. What is closely associated with the gathering together of the church is an event called the Bema, or each believer appearing before the Bema. And the Bema is a place where the believers will be rewarded. And that's what we're going to conclude our class on Fight the Good Fight, and we're going to do that by going to Romans chapter 11. So the Apostle Paul knew that because of him having fought a good fight, finishing the course, that he would be rewarded with a crown, the crown of righteousness. But to see the believer's rewards, it's important to make a distinction. And Romans chapter 11 makes this distinction very, very well. Have you ever heard people say that they think the Bible is difficult to understand? You know, I know invariably that those people who ever make that have never really read the Bible. Because the Bible is not difficult to understand. You can read books and understand them, can't you? I mean, you learn that from an early age. The biggest problem that people face is they never read the Word. A lot of educated people in the United States, a lot of people with college degrees and advanced degrees, a lot of people that know a lot about a lot of stuff, but how many of those people have even read the Bible? It's the most important book in all of human history. It's the most influential book, bar none. It's the biggest seller. You know, even from a census point of view, the Bible, far and away, eclipses every other book that's ever been published in significance. But yet educated people are ignorant of it. Why is that? Well, it might have something to do with an adversary who likes to keep people lost by blinding their minds and keeping them from the Word of God. You know, it's been interesting to me throughout the years how, as you witness to people and share God's Word with them and they express some hunger, how oftentimes there'll be little obstacles thrown in their path that will prevent them from coming initially to fellowship. Have you ever noticed that? Why do you think that is? Maybe it's because we're in a good fight. You know, maybe what the fight is about is the Word, and the adversary is trying to keep people from getting the Word. And that's why you got to fight for people with prayer and loving them up and helping them. Maybe go pick them up and driving them in your 1977 Dodge Dart like we used to, right? But there's a great truth that's associated with the believer's rewards. And it's something we can see from Romans chapter 11. You know, people that want to think that the Bible's difficult to understand, how about this verse? It says, "And if by grace, then it is no more of what?
Works.
Works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more what?
Work.
Now, is that difficult? Do you need to know Aramaic, Greek, and Hebrew and have an advanced degree in theology to be able to understand that? You know, the Word of God is clear. I love, we sing that song, the Bible clearly tells His Word, and that you can't deny. It does, it's clear. You know what? Grace is grace, and works are works. Sad. Now, our salvation, absolutely, categorically, beyond any shadow of a doubt, is by what?
Grace.
We know that. Nothing we did to deserve it. Nothing we can do to undo it. It is totally God's grace. Now, what you do once you're born again is works. Look at here, Ephesians chapter 2. This just came to mind. Grace is grace, works are works. How about this section? For by, verse 8, Ephesians 2. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should what?
Boast.
Okay, very clear. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what?
Good
works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. As we read these three verses together, there's three different works, or three different references to works in these three verses. First of all, our salvation is not of works. Okay, very clear. It's grace. But our salvation is God's workmanship in us. That's His work. You know, to put Christ in you is God's work. Now, once you have Christ in you, you are created in Christ Jesus unto what?
Good works.
Now, it's for those good works after the new birth that you will be rewarded. It's the basis of the believer's rewards. Look at Romans chapter 14, please. You know, it's very, very sad when you see people that believe that they got to work their way to heaven. It's also equally sad when you see somebody who has been saved and then does nothing with it. You know, never gets around to working with God, never getting around to doing the good works of Christ. That's sad too. You know, get this straight is very, very important. Yes, we are absolutely saved by grace. We are so blessed by God for nothing that we deserve. And we have God's workmanship in us. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in my shirt, you know. But now that I have that, what are you going to do with it? You know, the logical response is to live for Him.
Amen.
You know, to do the good works of Christ. We represent Christ here upon earth. In Romans chapter 14, this is fantastic. Look at what it says in verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? And why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of who?
Christ.
And this is addressed to the church. Now, when you read the word judgment seat, two words in English, I don't know about you, but I oftentimes think of like a trial or, you know, appearing before the judge. You know, most of the times when I've appeared in a courtroom or before judges, it's not for good reasons. You know? You know, it's not really fun. It's not something that you like to do. You know, it might be necessary, but, you know, the idea of, you know, judgment, you know, I don't know about you, but it usually creeps up the back of my neck of the stuff that I screwed up in, you know? And then this verse could be taken that way. Well, first thing for us to understand is that the two words translated or two words in English, judgment seat, are translated from one Greek word, and it's the word bema, spelled B-E-M-A. And the word bema can refer to where a judge sits, but it also has the connotation, and it's its use here, of an award stand. The word bema literally means a step. And probably the best representation that we can think of is what we use at the end of Olympic events to give awards, because generally there's three awards at the end of an Olympic event, gold, silver, and bronze, and there's steps representing what you've achieved. You know, lowest for bronze, then silver, and then gold at the top. The step, it's an award stand. And that's how this should be understood. For we all shall stand before the award stand of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to who? God. You know, it's kind of interesting, the repetition here of every knee, every tongue, every one, and of himself. In other words, it's highly individualistic. Every one of us as individuals will give account of ourselves to God at the Bema. The other use of this in the church epistles is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says in verse 9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the bema of Christ, before the award stand of Christ. And look at the context of labor, of the work that you do. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or what?
Bad.
Oh, uh-oh. You know, you're going to receive at the Bema for the things that you've done that are good. Hey, right on. It's great. Ready. And then the things that are bad. Uh-oh. You know, the scale just went, eh. Well, first of all, we clarified. Hey, just make clarification. We as Christians have already been judged, and we've been judged in the person of who?
Christ.
And the judgment of God is that we are what?
Righteous.
Okay, so nothing touches that. Okay, what's it talking about? That we're going to be judged for the things which we have done, whether they be good, yay, whether they be bad, meh. What's that talking about?
Works.
Yeah, it's talking about works. And certainly within each Christian is the potential to do good works for Christ or to do bad works that would be unprofitable. Well, what happens for the good works? What happens to the bad works? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, you can take a verse of Scripture and make it mean whatever you want to mean. You can take that and say, oh, see, look, you're going to be judged. And, hey, you better keep your stuff together, young lady. You know, the stuff that you do bad, you're going to receive for it, the judgment seat of Christ. You know, do a whole sermon on it. Well, the whole word fits together.
Right.
See, and when you work a topic, when you work a subject, put all the verses together so you get the whole picture. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says in verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted. What did Paul plant? The word. Apollos watered. What did Apollos water? The word. But God gives the increase to the word. This is the work of the ministry. So then neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but God that gives the increase. Now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own what? Labor. Again, you see the individual emphasis there? Every man, his own reward according to his own labor. You know, our rewards are highly individualistic. You know, my rewards are not based even on what my wife does. My reward's based on what Doug does. You know, it's like, well, I'm a part of this really great church group. Well, it's great. You know, it's terrific. It might be a great church group. But what are you doing? You know, what are you contributing? You know, we talked about earlier, God didn't design us to be bench warmers. You know, each one of us are in a good fight. You know, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing with the resources of Christ, with the Word of God that's been committed unto your trust? Okay. And then it goes on to say, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another build thereupon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is who? Jesus Christ. See, we're to build the church. I'm certainly not to tear down the church. And this, remember, the context of Corinthians is reproof. What was happening at Corinth was there was a bunch of people who were given off that they were great leaders and they were these big egotists and you got to follow me and my group's better than your group and they're all divided and bickering and all this stuff. And it's being reproved. Hey, say, you know, instead of tearing down, you got to build. And it starts by laying the foundation, and the foundation is Jesus Christ. You know, man, anything that's not built on Jesus Christ will fall down. It fails. And then it goes on to say, now if any man builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by what?
Fire.
And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. This is talking about what happens at the Bema. It's in the context of every man receiving his own reward according to his own labor. It's how you build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a what? Reward. Now this answers the question that we got from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 of what you'll have done that is good. Okay? Something based on the foundation of Jesus Christ that you have built, you know, that stands the test of time at the Bema, stands the test of fire at the Bema. He shall receive a reward. But look at it, it's in verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer what?
Loss.
Loss of what?
Reward.
If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by what? Fire. Our salvation is sure. Why? It's by grace. It's got nothing to do with our works. But when each of us give an account of ourselves at the Bema, there will be a trial by fire. That which lasts, you're going to be rewarded for. That which doesn't last is going to get what? Burnt. That's the bad works. That's what happens to the bad works. In other words, you're going to suffer loss. And the loss that you suffer is a loss of rewards. You know, potential that you could have had, but didn't because, you know, you built something else or got involved with other activities. It says in verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God what?
Destroy.
Whoa, wait a minute. If any man, like a Christian man, defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy? Wait a minute. We just read that when your works are tried, that even if they're burnt up, that you yourself will be saved. Well, There's a little problem in translation here, and it's the word him. If any man defiles the temple of God, and the word him should be translated it, it shall God what? Destroy that work. And it fits with the context, and it fits with the overall word. It, or this work, shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. You know, well, what is it to defile the temple of God? What it is, the temple of God here refers to the church. It refers to the body of Christ. And the word defile means corrupt. It's to corrupt the body of Christ. You know, to tear down the body of Christ. I mean, that's certainly things that we could do by our words. It's things that we could do by our actions. You know, what is contrasted here is whether you're building the church or whether you're tearing it down. And this is reproof given to a bunch of people at Corinth that were in the process of tearing down what the Apostle Paul and others had built at Corinth. If any man defiles or corrupts the temple of God, it or his work shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in the world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is who? God's. And then the context continues. Verse 1. Let a man so account of us, that as of the ministers of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God, moreover it is required in stewards that a man be found, what?
Faithful.
You know, you work the word of God concerning the believer's rewards. Underlying it at the bottom of the basis of being rewarded, it's staying faithful. It doesn't talk about being perfect in everything you do, but it's staying put, staying faithful. God rewards faithful stewards, faithful ones, ones who continue in the faith. You know, it's interesting because sometimes as you endeavor to hold forth God's word and help people, you don't see many results. Sometimes you see much better results. You know, well, the fruit, well, that's God's business. You know what's our business? Stay put. You know, stay put doing what the word says. Stay put holding it forth. Stay put in your prayer life. Be a faithful one. And then it goes on, verse 3, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment, or man's day. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. You see how this context continues from chapter 3? Because it's talking about everything being brought to light. You know, all the things that you've done in life, whether good or bad, all the stuff coming to light, as it says, bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Everything that you've done will come out. You know, it's all going to come out in the wash. It will be judged. What happens to the bad stuff? Gets burned up. What about the good stuff? You get rewarded for it. And at the conclusion of this incredible event called the Bema, the award stand of Christ, it says, and then shall every man have what? Praise of God. You know, there's not going to be eternal torment to the church, you know, for the bad stuff you did. It's not going to be punishment. You know, it's not going to be anything less than every one of us having praise of God. Why? Because we all are identified with Jesus Christ. We are all believers in God's Son. We all are God's best. We are all heaven's holiest. And that's because of what God has done for each of us. So, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 is one of the great chapters concerning the events of Christ's second coming, and particularly of the gathering of the church. It says in verse 57, "But thanks be to God, which gives us the what? Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, we are in a good fight, and the good fight is over the Word. The battlefield is our mind, and that the fight is over believing what God says, or whether we're going to get enticed to believe other words. But one great truth is that the eternal victory has been wrought for all of us by Jesus Christ, and we can all just thank God who's given us this final victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know, at times in this life, it might seem like it's in vain, but in light of what we just read, in light of the believer's rewards, you know, God's word certainly guarantees that it will not be in vain. He knows what we do. He knows our thoughts. He knows every aspect of our lives, and He will reward us according to our faithfulness. You know, what those rewards will be, I don't know. I spent a whole year with a group of people, including your dad, looking at this topic of the believer's rewards, and we tried to understand a little bit about how God would reward us. Well, He gives a few figures of speech, like it's going to be a crown, or it's going to be a prize. I don't know. But I'll tell you something. When it comes to life's most important contest, life's most important battle, when it comes to what really matters throughout eternity, and particularly knowing that we're dealing with our good God, I have a sneaking suspicion that God will be able to reward us sufficiently. Actually, there's a section in 2 Corinthians where it says that what we will see in the next life is way beyond anything that we could imagine. It's so far beyond what we could consider to be a reward that it just will take the events of the gathering together and the Bema to see it. I know one thing is that this is the one fight that's worth fighting. This is the one thing that is really worth selling out to. And each and every one of us have been bought with a price and can sell out to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in representing Him upon earth. Certainly, as it says at the end of the book, like the Apostle John said and others that have come before us, our heart's desire is, "Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." We're looking forward to that day. But in the meantime, stay put, stay faithful, hold forth the word. It matters what we do here. What we do is not in vain in the Lord, but we represent the Lord Jesus Christ, and what a privilege is ours. So, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege that You've given us in the ministry to share Your word and to help others like we've been helped. Thank You for the great grace that's been bestowed upon us in the new birth and the wonderful work that You give us to do day by day and blessing others and sharing Your word and prayer and helping and serving. Father, I'm thankful for these men and women gathered here, for what they mean to You, that You gave Your Son for each one of us. And Father, in the days ahead, may we walk faithfully and, Father, walk with great anticipation of the glorious gathering day. Father, I pray that each one of us will be steadfast and unmovable and abound in the work that You give us to do. And Father, we know that we will be rewarded at the Bema for that work. So, Father, thank You for the privilege that we've had together these few days to look at Your word and to realize more and more about Your goodness and grace. So, Father, I praise You and give You the glory in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.